Welcome to the Fulham Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 2:42 Greenwich Mean Time. Today is Saturday, April 28th. The reason for the late audio is because David recorded an audio last night and experienced some technical difficulties. I think his computer has been damaged following the installation of some carpet in the office last week. So I'm recording this replacement audio. He attempted another replacement earlier today, but it just hasn't worked out. I've been away for the last month, so I feel that I'm still getting my feet under the table to a certain extent when getting back into the markets. But there are a number of clear themes, and since this is the big picture Friday audio, perhaps I'm coming back with a little bit of clarity. One thing that I do find is that after teaching the chart seminar, my analytical clarity does become better, simply because of the discipline. Also, because I've been away from the markets, I think I can come back and look at some of these markets with perhaps less bias. And bias is something that I talked about at great deal in a number of the talks I gave in the USA. So there, I think, are a number of clear themes when we look at these markets. Perhaps you might be interested in some of the things that became evident in the two chart seminars I taught back in San Francisco and in New York. The first thing was that at the chart seminar, we don't have any examples. All the examples come from the delegates. And what's often interesting, and I attempt to point this out in the latter half of the second day, is that to point out what people have not asked for. And it was interesting that at both seminars, we didn't look at very many stock market indices. It was very equity driven. We certainly looked at the government bond sector, and we looked at commodities, particularly in New York. But we didn't look at very many country indices. We didn't look at any European country indices. We looked at very few Asian country indices. We looked at the S&P and the NASDAQ in San Francisco, but not in New York. And when we look at how that compares with what's actually been happening in the markets, well, this has been an incredibly equity-driven first quarter in the global economy. We've had the best start to the year in at least 14 years in the equity markets. The last month has been characterized by the beginning of a corrective phase in a large number of stock markets. The USA has held up perhaps better than most. This has been a pretty dismal year for the commodities sector, and we didn't spend any time looking at industrial metals at the seminars, but the industrial metal sector does now appear to be finding support. Copper, lead, and tin have progressions of higher reaction lows. They appear to be in the process of building support and look more likely than not to rally from current levels. The fact that nobody was asking for them does suggest that people have not been particularly interested in this sector. It's off people's radars, and it is potentially something that could turn to outperformance. China is also an interesting area at present, where we've been pointing out for a number of months that valuations are really quite attractive, and that now this market has a higher reaction low, something it hasn't had for quite some time. It's back rallying back towards the declining 200-day moving average, and there is the potential that China could be moving into a position of outperformance over the short to medium term. That would also gel well with the return to relative performance of the industrial metals sector and indeed the global miners. I think that David has been pointing out the resurgence in interest in the mining sector over the last couple of weeks. And the Indian market has been ranging here in the region of the 200-day moving average for much of the last month. It's at an interesting level because if the bullish case is to be given the benefit of the doubt, then it will need to continue to find support in the current region. The ASEAN region continues to lead on the upside. The Philippines is continuing to hit new highs. It's become somewhat overextended in the very short term, but it's being supported by really a revolution in the local economy. There's an email I got in here today is suggesting that the Philippines is now an IMF creditor, whereas previously it has been a debtor for practically as long as it's been independent. So there are strong economic fundamentals that are helping to drive this outperformance in the ASEAN region. The Indonesian market has been ranging in the region of its previous all-time high for much of the last month. It does look more likely than not that it's going to be able to sustain an upward break. Thailand has also been pushing on to new highs, or threatening at least, in the last couple of weeks. So we're seeing this continued outperformance by the ASEAN region, which has been a leader since late 2008. A number of these ASEAN markets bottomed early, broke out of their bases early, took out their 2008 peaks early, moved into a corrective phase back in the latter half of last year early, are now moving back into a position of outperformance. And that helps to bolster the argument that we are still in this cyclical bull market. Now, when we go back and we look at some of what's been happening on Wall Street has been in this corrective phase for much of the last month. So far, the decline has been quite modest. And this week's strong performance really does help to suggest that the S&P could have found a low. If it sustains a move below the 1350 area, then we would have to begin to reassess that view. I think that there is still the most likely possibility is that the S&P is going to spend some time in the current region, which will allow the 200-day moving average to catch up. The potential for a sustained upward break and reassertion of the cyclical bull market is probably a little way out yet. We probably do still need to spend some time and unwind the short-term overbought condition relative to the 200-day moving average and allow it to catch up. In the gold market, gold now is at $1,662.75. Over the last 10 years, it's put in a positive return every year for the last 10 years. On previous occasions, when it's become wildly overextended relative to its 200-day moving average, the advance has been capped by sharp downward dynamics, and then it has spent a considerable amount of time ranging. Those ranges have generally found their lows pretty early, and then it spends a good deal of time building support and putting in a progression of higher reaction lows. Gold has spent nearly the last 7 months ranging. Previous consolidations have been in the region of 18 months. It's now in the region of the 200-day moving average. This is a potential area of support. It does appear to be finding support in this region. That would be consistent with the bull market hypothesis that it was due a pullback and consolidation. That's what it's getting. And provided it holds within this range, we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. The secular bull market remains in place, and that would suggest that at some point over the next year, gold will be able to sustain a break back above the 1800 level and then back above the 1900 level and reassert the secular bull market. But even if it were to close out the year at today's level, it will have posted another consecutive year of positive gains. And that is certainly one of the defining characteristics of what has been an incredibly impressive bull market. When we go back and look at what's been happening on Wall Street over the last decade, it's been largely range-bound, and we've had a secular progression of P/E ratio contraction and rising dividend yields. That is still very much in place. I think a large number of people have been looking at where the S&P's dividend was back in 1980, where it was about 8% and ExxonMobil yielded about 15%. But when we compare that to what bonds were yielding, then equity yields were considerably below what bond yields have been. That's been the case since the late 1950s. Previous to the 1950s, equities always yielded more than bonds because they were seen to be a risk asset and investors demanded a higher return. Now we're back into a position where equities now yield more than bonds. That's an interesting situation. Companies that are leveraged to the growth of the global consumer are outperforming in nominal terms, but a large number also are yielding more than is currently available on governments. Government bond yields have been compressing for nearly 30 years. At some point, that is going to change. Now, there is no evidence that that is imminent. If one looks at a total return index of US 10-year treasuries, then it's been trending consistently since at least 1983. And I say 1983 because that's as far back as the data we have goes. When that eventually begins to change, then we'll have clear evidence that the secular bull market in government bonds has ended. There are indications that we are coming into the latter stages of that bull market. Negative real yields, TIPS yielding less than a negative 1.5%, and the fact that equities now yield, in some cases, considerably more than government bonds, suggests that that sector is going to come under more competition to provide a more secure return. So we do not look on government bonds as a safe haven because it appears to be in the latter stages of what has been a spectacular bull market. But we don't yet have clear evidence that that bull market has ended. The fact that a large number of globally oriented stocks are outperforming in price terms, but also on yield terms, makes them really powerfully attractive. We've been fans of big multinationals for almost 2 years, and we named them the autonomies from late last year. But the autonomies are the new principalities. They are autonomous from their domestic markets, and they have global reach, superior corporate governance. They often have very strong cash flows and a good record of paying out dividends and increasing their dividends. They have the ability, they have strong franchises and the ability to both manufacture globally and to expand their presence globally. And these companies have done spectacularly well over the last few months. Quite a number of them are really quite overextended right now relative to their 200-day moving averages and are due some consolidation. There are others that are only now completing decade-long bases. Bristol-Myers Squibb is a very good example of one of those. It's been ranging for much of the last 10 years and is now breaking upwards to new high ground. Apple had become really quite overextended when it got upwards of $600 and has entered a period of consolidation. This week's action was really very positive indeed in Apple, but it still needs some time to unwind the overbought condition relative to the 200-day moving average. So we're getting a little bit of rotation in the autonomy sector. Certainly the large pharmaceuticals, which have these strong yields, are also moving to positions of outperformance. There's a high degree of commonality in that sector. When one looks at Eli Lilly, which yields over 4%, or GlaxoSmithKline, or Merck, or Pfizer, they are moving to positions of relative outperformance at present, not least because they're rallying from comparatively low levels, but also because some of the rest of that sector has become so wildly overextended in the short to medium term, and the potential for at least a consolidation of gains has risen considerably. Europe has spent much of the last month trading downwards. Now, Europe has some really has got a large number of problems. Spanish and Italian spreads are too high for comfort. It is interesting that there is now quite a divergence between the government bond spreads of Greece, Portugal, and Ireland relative to Spain and Italy. Of course, the first three are in have had bailouts, and the latter two have not. It does raise the possibility that there is going to have to be some form of intervention, in additional intervention, more formal intervention by the IMF and the bailout troika in Spain and Italy. That's becoming, I think, an increasingly likely prospect. The stock markets in Europe have been trending lower over the last month, but they're back into a potential area of support. The European Banking Index in particular has pulled back, but it's back in an area of potential support and appears to be more likely than not to rally. The DAX, the IBEX, the CAC, they're all back into potential areas of support. So Europe is where the focus of concerns is at present. It's where the largest decline has been experienced over the last 4 or 5 weeks, and it's the place that is probably most likely to bounce in the current environment. The oil market has, West Texas Intermediate has come back to test the $100 area and appears to have bounced. The commodity complex generally appears to be in the process of finding support. So we've had a difficult month for the European stock markets. Wall Street continues to outperform. The home builders in the USA are breaking out of bases. This has been the best couple of months for home builders in quite some time. We remain in this medium-term bullish environment. So far, any reactions that have occurred have been comparatively mild in the context of the bull market that we've experienced over the last 3 years. And we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside, provided most of these indices continue to find support in the region of their 200-day moving averages on setbacks. We remain, I think the big secular theme is that we're in the age of humanity. There's probably never going to be as many people alive in the world over the next 30 years. The global economy or the global population is probably going to peak at some point in the next 30 years, and after that we'll never have as many people again. Per capita consumption of just about everything is increasing. That is driving demand for just about all products, from basic commodities through to finished products. And for the first time, standards of living are improving to an extent where not only do we have an increasing population, but we have an increasingly large number of people who can afford to buy the things or buy a standard of living that we in the West often take for granted. That's helping to drive the bottom lines of so many of these autonomies. Apple's impressive results this week, with 20% of its growth coming from China, is just one of those examples. We remain within cyclical bull markets in Europe and in the USA, but probably secular bull markets in many of those growth economies in Asia. And that remains a secular theme. There has been a great deal of concern expressed about the Chinese economy, and for a good while, some of that concern has been correct, because the market has been trending lower, although relatively gradually, over the last 18 months. It does now appear to be in the process of bottoming, and that could be quite a catalyst for the commodities sector. And the fact that it is off the radar for the large number of people is an additional factor in its favor. Now, I think with that, I will leave you for the weekend, and I wish all the best to all of you.